Evening everyone, and welcome to tonight's planning meeting on Tuesday the 29th of August. Apologies for absence have been received from Councillors Brenda Taylor and Councillor Geoff Trail. Have you had any other?
No.
Can I say, Chair, that I also asked Steve Guzzard, who would normally have acted as
reserve
for Brenda. Steve is unavailable, and I also asked Brian Torrey. And he's also unavailable on short notice. So
yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
I've also had a look at the Withycombe application.
Oh, lovely.
So that, yeah.
Oh, that's helpful. Thank you, Tim. Thank you very much. Right, we're going to move to the public speaking section. We have got one member of the public that wishes to speak in respect of application 17/1957 full, 10 Ralston Close, which is in the Holsden Ward. Have I members permission that we take that application first, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. So we'll now move into the public speaking section, where we'll ask for representations to be taken before we discuss the actual application. The representation may take up to 3 minutes, and as I'm already aware that the representation is being made by Mrs. Helen Brocklebank, who wishes to object to application 17/1957 full, 10 Ralston Close, construction of single storey front and side extension. I would ask Mrs. Brocklebank if she would like to address the meeting, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. Before we discuss the application, has anybody any declarations they wishes to make in respect of this application? Councillor Cahill.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, whilst the applicant is not known to me, Mr. and Mrs. Brocklebank are known to me on a personal level.
Thank you. Councillor Nicholas.
And I'm Mrs. Brocklebank's daughter, I presume.
Okay. Lovely. Thank you.
Isn't it cosy?
So this is, I'll repeat, this is in the Holsden Ward, is in its application 17/1957 full, 10 Ralston Close, construction of single storey front and side extension. Highways do not wish to comment. We've had two representations, one of which you've heard tonight, and also in respect to the number 11. I don't know if you want to summarise any other point that you feel has been made, Sue. I think probably they've been made in the...
Yes, I think all the points I've got have been put forward by Mrs. Brocklebank, and just to say that she said that in the letter that I had that the light would be blocked to the kitchen, the landing, the front door and the bedroom due to the difference in height of the property. So yes, that's...
Thank you for expanding on that. Councillor Dumper?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yes, I actually went up and had a look at Mr. and Mrs. Brocklebank's property, had a look at it this morning, and spent quite a long time discussing it. Now, we've had, as we know, a number of development extension ideas that would be extended right to the boundary of the property. However, this one is particularly unusual in two respects. One is, as Mrs. Brocklebank's explained, it's so much lower, their house, compared with the house the development would take place in. The other thing is the fact that this, and again she said, it's out of character with the close. And one of the reasons why it is so out of character is because the side extension is extending several metres in front of the house. Now this is most peculiar for a semi-detached house. It just would look entirely wrong and would, as they've explained, affect the amenity of their house considerably. And I would obviously therefore favour refusal of this particular application. They also make the comment about the soak away and the weather effects. And I mean, Councillor Chapman, living up in that area, you know about the way the water comes down in your area. I would think that needs considerably more investigation. The issue of a rear extension, which most of the other houses in that close have got, seems to raise its head as an alternative, and I would only say that might be a much better idea for the developers. Anyway, that's my proposal for you.
Thank you. Councillor Fred Cagill.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I visited Mr. and Mrs. Brockbank's house as the ward councillor and stood, as Councillor Dumper did, from what he's just said, at the kitchen window, and straight away you can see it would be like the Berlin Wall in front of the windows. You know, it's a considerable piece of development. And once again, the drive of Mrs. Brockbank's house has sunken compared to the other one, so the light would certainly be affected, and the proposed development is definitely not in keeping with the area, so I would second Councillor Dumper's proposal.
Thank you. My concern was actually in concurring with yourselves, was also, as far as I could see, it was in front of the building line anyway of the majority of those bungalows, and so out of line with the others in the street scene. So therefore,
houses, by the way, they are.
Yeah, yeah, but it's
still out of keeping.
I felt with the rest, because most of the others, as you've said, have been the extensions have been done quite sensitively and mostly at the rear. So I'm happy to concur with that. So it's proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis of it being overbearing, also out of character with the street scene, and obviously would block light to number 10 and possibly number 11, but probably in principle we would prefer a rear extension rather than a front extension. So proposed and seconded for refusal. All those in favour? Any against? No. Thank you. So that's refused. Thank you. You can leave if you wish to save you. Hang on. The minutes of the meeting held on the 14th of August 2017 have been circulated. Is it your wish I sign them as a true record of the last meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Now move on to declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensation, and ask if you have any interest to declare, personal or otherwise. I've actually personally declared a personal interest in 17 Bleak 1409 Full, flat 38 Cranford Avenue, as the applicant is known to me, and this is Suzanne Burkett, which I would presume is known to most councillors here, so I suspect we should all declare a personal interest in view of the applicant.
And licensing.
Okay.
Licensing.
Yeah. There's no items of urgent business.
Sorry. Yeah, I'd like to personal interest, Maria, why is known to me.
Thank you. Any others? No, thank you. Firstly, to determine applications under delegated powers. This is in Brixington Ward, application 17, oblique 15743, 4 Sherwood Drive, T1 Birchland Front Garden, crown reduced tree by 1.5 metres in height and 1 metre from side branches, to retain tree at 5 metres in height with a maximum spread of 4 metres. We have received the tree officer's report, which I will ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, apologies first for the strange photograph that's been sent with the report. But, anyway, the tree officer reports that this is a maturing silver birch. It is grown in a modest front garden and makes a modest contribution to the amenity of the area as a small tree canopy. Historically, the tree has been pruned back into a small crown, and this application is a repeat of that. So, recommendation is for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Nicholas, Councillor Chapman. One of you.
We'll go with the tree officer report.
Thank you. Have it a second. Mm-hmm. Proposed and seconded for approval in line with the tree officer's report. All those in favour? Any against? No. Thank you.
It's a funny picture. I don't recognise that.
It was
funnier.
Sue trying to get the shirt off the tree.
Now move on to consider planning applications for consultation. Firstly, Brixington Ward, application 17, oblique 1853 variance, Mereworth Gorse Lane, variation of condition 2, approved plans of planning permission 16, oblique 1171 full, construction of detached dwelling to include alterations to the appearance of the property, additional roof lights and raising height of dormers, and layout of the site, construction of shed, decking and amendments to the parking layout. We've had three representations, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, there's two representations who object. They say the original conditions were put in place to address concerns of overlooking and loss of privacy to two of the neighbouring properties and their gardens. The works in connection with the application have already been carried out. The addition of the skylight on the front of the house overlooks the daughter's bedroom of the house in front. The raised decking allows people on it to look into the neighbouring garden and the living room. The amendment to the parking layout has resulted in less visibility for vehicles exiting the parking area and is a danger to pedestrians, plus the design has made it open and bland. The other representative was just a scribble on their letter saying they had no objection. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Nicholas, Councillor Chapman.
And I do have some pictures of the work that's been done, but only in a letter of objection if anybody wishes to see them.
Okay.
But I guess I think, was it sent by email, maybe, this letter of objection?
No.
I don't know. But anyway, the ward members.
Councillor Chapman.
I will object to any variation on the original map. What we agreed, I think we should stick to, and I think the enforcement officer should be called to have a look at the work that they've carried out before. We agreed that they shouldn't have this. Now they've gone and done it and put it in for approval, and I don't approve.
And it is, as it says, overlooking. You're refusing on the basis that it is overlooking the adjoining property?
Yeah. Everything that we agreed they could have in the first place is what they're going to have to stick to. Additional roof lights, the raising of the dormers, the high decking, everything like that we objected to in the first place.
Yeah.
And they've gone ahead and done it, and therefore I think it's up to the enforcement officer to put it right, in line with East Devon District Council's planning approval.
Yeah. So I was just checking that it was overlooking some
two property.
Yeah. Okay, lovely, thank you. Councillor Nicholas, you seconding?
Yes, I second that. We had a long discussion.
Again?
Okay, so it's proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis that it is, as originally agreed, is overlooking the adjoining properties, and therefore we feel that the no variation of condition two should be allowed. So it's refused. All those in favour of refusal? Any against? No. Thank you. That's refused. Next application is 17, a bit 1140 full, 41 Valley Way. Proposed first floor extension above existing garage and internal alterations to create ensuite and dressing room. Amended plans for consultation, amended drawings showing reduction in size of proposed first floor enlargement. We have comments obviously from the previous town council meeting and obviously a representation. If Sue could summarise for us, please.
Yes, we town council had no objection to the original plan on the 19th of June. However, an objection from the neighbour that it would affect them was lodged the day after our meeting, so we were unaware that there was an objection from the neighbour. Anyway, the same neighbour has objected very strongly from the occupants live next door. They've objected to the first floor extension. It would result in overshadowing, a loss of natural light all year round to the ground floor living rooms. The computer generated images that were put in with this application are stated as not being accurate representation of the light coming into their property. And I do believe they have taken photographs and have sent them to East Devon, but are not on the website as I speak.
Okay, thank you. All right, Councillor Nicholas.
The lady from number 43, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She phoned me, as Sue very kindly gave her our phone numbers and that, bless. And we went round, Maddie and I went round to see her.
Gang warfare.
Yeah. There are two things that I found wrong. It was claimed that the photos of a brick wall and how the light they were taken from number 43. Well, then they must have been trespassing because number 43 did not let them onto her property.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Now, in these houses, they've got their an extra window. They've their side path, which is all there is between them and me, is only the width, just width of one, and I couldn't put my arms out like that. It's one of the narrow ones, like an alley. And she, like she said, they accepted that. But what they've done when they built them is put that sort of shaped window right up on the top. It's not for view, and all you can see is that. But the way the light comes in over the garage. So if you extend the garage upwards one story, which is what they propose to do, it's going to block the light coming all the way alongside of the house.
Yes.
Right, right, yeah.
And all their main living area is along that side of the house, you
right.
know, with the windows. So, and whoever did it sent in those photos and said they were taken from number 43.
Right,
which is
were.
The house on the
which is the house on the right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, can I come in?
Yeah, Councillor.
Number 43 did send in objections to East End, but they weren't forwarded to Town Council. So when she found out about it, she contacted Sue, which is why we both went round there, because she was a bit agitated. These houses, when you go in the front door, you go into the dining area and you also have the stairs going up. And so the hall, the dining room and the stairs are in that one area. It's not a big house. They have a very small window in the front by the door, and the window in the dining room is quite high up, is to let the light in over the next door's garage. Basically what next door are planning to do is to build over their garage, so basically she will only get that brick wall. Now the brick wall photograph is superimposed, it was done by her husband who was in the services to send it through on the dimensions so you get an idea of what they would see. So they would not get the light. From the position of the house, they will not get any light now
if this is approved.
Mm-hmm.
So we consider it to be overdevelopment, intrusive, and lack of light.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, they haven't got, you know, usually you've got a fairly wide path in between.
Yeah, and you've only got this narrow
one.
Yeah.
And it's only just a narrow
alleyway. Yeah.
And since it's a high wall there anyway,
you
want to
block it out.
Brings it all in.
Yeah.
Well, they won't get any light, will they?
So, we're proposing refusal on the basis it's overdevelopment and lack of light.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose, because they were parked outside on their driveway, I suppose they could, instead of going up a floor, put it into downstairs, whatever they wanted to do, you know, in the garage.
Yeah.
Develop the garage or something.
Could be. Okay. So, it's proposed and seconded for refusal. All those in favour? No, against that? Thank you. Then we move on to Holsden Ward, the second application, which is 17/1986 full, 89 Hullam Road. Construction of two-storey side extension and single-storey rear extension. Highways do not wish to comment, and we've had no representations. Councillor Cahill?
I haven't seen this. Is it possible we can see the plans up there? Yeah, it's possible.
I couldn't see any problem with this one.
Yeah, if I could just come in. I mean, that house is in fact the last of the road, so it's just coming up behind the lane. But in fact, there seems to be quite a long gap between that and the bungalow and the Mead Lane. So I can understand having any objections.
No, I couldn't see a problem with it.
No,
it's on the left hand side as you go up Hullam Road. It's on the sort of last one, as Councillor Dumper said.
You
it's taking the garage down. Yeah, they're taking the garage down.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see a problem at all, actually, and I went round behind. And
That's why I didn't bother to actually visit.
No.
I mean, I know where it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Pictures.
Okay, well, I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Now move to Littleham Ward. First application is 17/1409 full, flat 3, Cranford Court, 8 Cranford Avenue. Replace window with external door. Highways do not wish to comment, and we've had no representations. Councillor Nash.
Yeah. It's gone.
So I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Okay.
He'll be back. There you go.
That is the actual window where they want to put a door in, which would obviously come down the ground, so they can get out rather than window.
Yeah.
And you see it to the right there. So, it doesn't affect anyone, but improve the property, so I would vote it for approval.
And this is really to help to better get in and out the building easily too. Okay, I'm happy to second. Propose and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Now move to the next application, 17/1785 full, 1 Stevenston Road. Demolition of restaurant and construction of 6 three-bedroom houses with associated parking and facilities. We have one representation from Environmental Health. Sue, you'd like to just read that one?
Yes, Environmental Health requests that the applicants consult with themselves in order to ensure minimum impact on neighbours during construction.
Thank you. Councillor Nash.
Yeah, I think there should be drawn up a proper plan during the construction period. But I think it's pretty normal, particularly with large blocks such as this.
Haven't we had a previous
application? Yeah, you remember there had been an application before for 7 houses that were put at an angle. This is a different application. Having taken the advice from the planners, this block of 6 houses, that will be as it will look from the road, Salisbury Road, and then from the back is look. 6 individual joined together, 3-bedroom properties, all with parking spaces. And the parking, there's another one you can see for parking on there. The only thing, if we go to the design and access statement, please, if you can put that up.
I should be further along this
way. That's
right.
The end of it. That's
just
while that's up, as you can see, it is a very.
There's no design statement on there. It's got proposed.
It's an agreement, you mean that?
No, it's just £201 per house paid to.
You don't seem to have got the design statement on there, Bill.
Well, it was on my computer.
Oh.
You haven't copied it, that's all. There's 7 or 8 pages of it, actually.
Right, okay.
The only reason there's an error on it, I don't know whether we pointed out.
Well,
they're saying that existing is 5 parking spaces, and now there's only 5 parking spaces. But on the visuals, they're actually showing along here.
Oh,
go back to the last.
That's existing site.
All right, okay. Proposed one.
No, I don't know. It
okay.
was actually the design statement. So, an improvement on the previous application. It doesn't impinge so much on the neighbours, as you'll see from the site plan, because it is a very large site. Having said that, though, I do agree we should have some drawn up hours of working, i.e. not weekends, not before 8:30 a.m., not after 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's normal practice anyway. So.
Sail boards.
Move it for
6 months.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Councillor Dumper.
Yeah, I was just going to ask whether there's been anything from Tara at all on this.
No, I was at the Tara meeting. Interesting. So I was at the Tara meeting this week. No, it was last week, and I did say this was coming up, and they said they were quite happy with the previous one and weren't didn't make any comments. There'd been no comments from any neighbours. Or any of the ward members on this one at all. That's quite a big development. No one's put any comments in at all. And Tara are quite happy.
Okay, well, I'm happy to second. So it's proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against that? Thank you. Next application 17, Abeek 1885 Full, 81 Foxholes Hill. Construction of single-storey front extension, raised terrace and balustrade, extensions and alterations to rear and construction of a pergola. Highways do not wish to comment and we've had no representations. Councillor Nash?
Yes, no representations at all, although I've spoken to both neighbours at number 77 and 79. If you put up please the plan on that, where it is, the actual plan.
Oh, see the proposed plan, I think.
Yeah.
That one?
No.
No?
No.
Design?
Yeah.
No?
No. No.
Oh.
No.
What's the number on the plan, Phil?
Not one.
What's the number on the plan you've got in your hand?
It's that. It was on the... I don't know what it was under, but it gives a better example of where there's a problem.
It's the location plan, isn't it? No, it's not. I say it's not. So. Proposed site plan. I think they must be trying to stitch us up, Councillor Nash. Because,
sorry, you
we've
didn't
copy
it.
We've downloaded everything that was on.
Well, no, you didn't, because that was on there.
Must have added it since last Thursday.
Well, that must admit it was only done at the weekend.
Mm.
So.
Ah, right.
Anyway, there is a problem for house number 77, and that is, as you can't see, because it's not on the screen, this second part of the building is at the same roof height, as you can see there, is
person's going to try and get it. So.
Well done, mate. Is at the same height, or is it going to be the same height as the existing roof? And there is a question of how far away it is from the boundary. Now, it's suggested that it mustn't be less than 3 metres from the rear boundary of number 77. Because if it is, it will loom closely into the garden of 77. Also, a query on the roof height. It should be below, it does look as if it's below on some of the drawings, below the roof the height of the existing building. So this is the new building. So there are no real objections apart from the concern the owners of number 77, roof height and the distance from the boundary of this new pod building. So
right, which one are you looking at there? Do you know?
What is
this one? Oh, that might be it. Is that it?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So it was there. Right. You see the concern, this is number 77, and that distance from the fence.
So I'm just making it a bit bigger.
To this roof is quite important at the moment. This roof would appear to be the same height as this roof, which if it is, it means at the moment when people are in their garden here, they can see this roof, but this is the same height, and it's much, much closer. It's going to dominate right over their rear garden. Hence why it's suggested that this should be at least 3 metres. Between the edge of that, which needs to be.
Depends how far the house is away from the. Here's the one that's being affected, because if it's more than 22 metres, then I don't know how far it is from it. Because the general rule is if we go to East End District Council,
yeah.
if the house is more than 22 metres from the boundary, then or the adjoining building, then they'll say to us that that is within, you know, that's not within. Distance, even though it overlooks the garden. I don't disagree with you, Bill, I'm just saying.
No. I say the problem is you can't see it over here, but the garden slopes.
Right.
It drops down 6 feet from the end of the number 77 down to here.
Mm.
So although it may be a distance, it's not because
no.
you don't
write
it
down.
And that is inclined to make this come up even higher.
Yeah.
So that's one concern they have at number 77.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there are no other reasons why it shouldn't be done. There had been 4 years ago an early application, which was turned down totally by us and East End, whether it would turn it into a sort of four-storey hotel. So the residents are quite happy what the new owner is going to do here, but just emphasis on can it be 3 metres, and also the roof height to be lower for this bit being built on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so are you proposing refusal or are you proposing...
Oh, no, approval.
You're proposing refusal, but we want them to note that it... like it to be 3 metres and the roof height to be lower. Yeah?
Please.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. No,
move for approval. Okay, I'll second. So it's proposed and seconded for approval with those two notes. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 17, oblique 1772 Fulk, 59 Salterton Road. Conversion of house to form two dwellings. Highways are given normal standing advice and there's no representations. Councillor Nash.
Yeah.
Got a lot of these, haven't we?
The important thing, there's a picture on there you'll find of the house. Yes, top left there.
Yeah.
The important thing is, at the moment, this is one house, and there was a small flat at the top. They're planning to divide it into two houses, but the good thing is the new houses, the conversion of the existing house has been designed to retain all the existing windows and doors. So for the front, they would look exactly the same. Retaining the appearance of the existing property, I'm reading from their actual design statement, so they're giving sufficient car parking, bins, bicycles, the rest of it. And there is plenty of space in this garden. There's quite a large plot, as you can see there. It's a very big plot.
Mm.
So the good news is they're not pulling something down. It's going to look as it is, except it will be adapted inside, be two separate.
Similar to the other one in that road where you access it from the side, don't you, for one of the flats?
That's right.
One of the houses. And
you're right.
You?
Cranford,
yeah.
There's a number along there
so
that they've done similar things to where you access one house from the side and one from the front.
From the other side.
Yeah.
So I move that for approval.
Thank you. Councillor Kagan.
I just declare that the applicant is named.
Okay, lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Oh, thank you. Next application is 17, Oblique 1755 Full, Car Park Mare Road. Construction of new vehicle and pedestrian access at the northwest corner of existing pay and display car park to include construction of a pedestrian refuge. There's no comments and no representations.
Nothing at all being there's no part any comments on this. Looking at all the pretty pictures, you've got the land train, and they're showing how the land train will go in, how the land train can get out. This is really the reason they're putting in a refuge, what did they name it, a pedestrian refuge, I suppose that would be running, you'd jump on it. It's a refuge, and as you know, the car park is much lower, so they are taking away this sudden drop that there is, which is a good idea. The same way for coaches, showing quite clearly how large coach can pass through and come out. I think there's several.
So that's preparing for the changes, isn't it?
So that particular one is important where you've got all of the figures round, which says exactly where the lockable arm is going to be, the ramp coming down. And the flow plates, noise reduction, bumpers, yes.
It's making it wider really, isn't it, so that other vehicles can get in.
Yes, so it's going to be wider.
Yeah.
They're taking out some of the hump, and it's been designed so you can land train in that.
I actually would like a pedestrian access to the side. Yeah, well, I think it's partly partly to do with the football thing that's going on.
Yes, the coaches is really for the role playing field.
That's what I mean.
But
that's
as a matter of interest, as Eddie's just said, it is one of the car parks, Mero car park, where we're suggesting or hoping the council.
Yeah, it should mean the access is
so
important.
So the coach can get in the camper van.
I mean, I think going on what's been happening this weekend, I would have liked to have seen a pedestrian access at coming from the car park rather than people jumping out and over the railings when they were parking towards the back. They weren't going to walk all the way to the entrance to come out. They were jumping over the fence.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
You know, it would have been probably easier if they made a little pedestrian access, actually. And probably safer to walk across the road than further down where they were trying to turn the vehicles. Councillor Cahill.
Thank you, Chairman. Based on the application by Blue Cedars Homes, can we just confirm that this will also be an access and exit for heavy haulage servicing and development on the benefit?
It depends what they're doing on the development. That will be arranged with environmental health anyway about access
and
construction.
They
were going to do most of it. I think it's just it's supposed to be through the car park, but I think the only problem is the top end where they're building the houses. I think they have said that they may have to have some access, haven't they, at the top
during
bit where they're during construction where they're building the houses. It can't all be done because they're actually the houses are going to be accessed from Douglas Avenue when they're completed, and the playing fields are going to be accessed from the car park, and there's a certain part of when it's constructed, partly through the construction, that they won't be able to access the houses from the car park, so there's going to have to be some vehicle access coming from Douglas Avenue.
So I'm assuming then when the application is confirmed, there'll be a
plan. They'll have to put a plan in place,
They'll
have to put an environmental health plan. I will ask them for a construction plan with the number of lorries, time of working, all that sort of thing to alleviate the, certainly because you've got houses in Mare Lane and you've got, and obviously with depending what time they're constructing and what time of the year it is and tourism traffic and car park traffic.
Okay.
there's going to be quite a big management plan, I would think, Fred.
Thank you.
So,
I move for approval.
Thank you. I'm happy to second. Propose and second it for approval. All those in favour? Against? No. Thank you. Next application. Working you hard tonight, Bill. Next application 17, I believe 1899 full, 15 the Broadway, construction of garage workshop.
Yes.
Is this a private workshop? I didn't read this one.
Yes, what this is, at the moment, that is the garage.
Yeah.
The west, which is down from the drive, is where the existing garage door is. It's very wide. Very large garage. Now, what they're proposing to do, this will face their own house, the other side will face the neighbour's fence, which doesn't affect anyone because it's just a high fence in the garden. But there is room, obviously, for the door, and it's their own house. So they are basically taking the size of the garage, adding on to it, going up higher with the roof. Adding on another portion, so it'll be a workshop and a double garage. Looking at the double garage today, I thought my garage was in rubble. Oh my goodness! Apart from his boat and outboard motors and tractor and two cars and various DIY equipment, I can see why he might need a workshop. Added on. The only thing, I think, Chairman, if we do approve this, is I think there's no reason why we shouldn't. I think there should be the caveat put on, and at no stage should that ever be.
I was just saying, looking at it, it's
could,
a very.
It could be, yes. I think
it,
crap,
it could be converted from a workshop by looking at the built dwelling.
Exactly, yes. So it retains as a garage workshop.
Yeah, I was going to say for private use.
Private use.
Just it does look as if it would be possible in the future to do something else. Okay. And so proposed and I'll second, proposed and seconded for approval with those edited clauses. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application 17, oblique 1582, major reserved, Royal College Playing Field, Douglas Avenue. Application for approval of reserved matters relating to appearance, landscaping, layout and scale for the proposed development of 23 age-restricted dwellings, details of changing pavilion and upgrading of sports grounds, pursuant to outline consent 16, oblique 2227 variants, amended plan for consultation, additional plan of summer house for communal garden, amended layout to the maintenance track to the Suds Ecology Area. South West Water Authority, no further comment, no further comment from highways, and no further representations. Councillor Nash?
Yes, with no representation for local council or anything at all. I've struggled. It's fine, the summer house amongst all of these. Can you tell me which is the summer house?
There, that square. That square there.
Is that in the middle of the communal garden? Do you want
is
to
it
look?
In the communal garden?
Yeah.
No, it's in the suns.
No,
it?
Additional
no.
plan for summer house for
it's
communal
it's
garden.
And then the changing.
Except there's no pictures of it.
So
yeah,
it
there
looks
are.
Like it.
There
yeah.
are.
It's a bandstand.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry,
the form. Sorry.
No, that's
the
summer house.
I don't know why they're bothering, but yeah. But there's also amended layout of the maintenance track to the Suds area, which was a concern for local residents. Further to the right, down here. So that's it was this track that the neighbours were concerned about leading into the Suds area. Now, the again, it was at the Tara meeting. They do have some concerns, and it's basically the tree preservation orders. They are very concerned that these tree preservation orders are taken seriously by the contractors. If it's anyhow, that is... There are T1, T2, T3, T4, T5, T6 and woodlands, but these tree preservation orders with those numbers on, can we emphasise that we are aware of them, because it's never appeared anywhere yet in a planning commission. Everything's going through without it being acknowledged that there is a TPOs on these. So the Tower Meeting Committee and residents particularly, they're very concerned that that be noted. And as this is amended plans for consultation, I think it's right and proper.
Can I just ask you, though, are those the three that are sort of coloured in
No, no, they're not.
No.
Do
you want me to hand it back to you, or are you all right?
No, they're copies you can keep.
Okay.
I've got the original one from Tara. No, they are down as far as, they're all at the backs of the houses, actually. And these are the neighbours in Douglas Over.
Towards the top of
the... Yes, that's right. If we go up...
let's have a look.
Yes,
it's the ones just those four along the top
there.
Four
up there.
Two, three, four goes along the top. They've put a lot of trees on there, not marked as they are. Whereas there was from the tree preservation officer a problem there.
But it should be included on the landscaping.
Yeah, I agree.
So we can just put a note, I think, on the bottom. We'll put a note. We'll just draw it to their attention.
Now, also, the other concern is that they brought up from Tara. If we could zoom out to show the playing fields, show this area.
That's all there is on that plan.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, it's one. Actually, that one, which is showing the stream.
No, I think it's probably because the only part we've got here tonight is the amended plans for the summer house and the layout of the maintenance track. So
no,
this plan.
This one is on
yeah.
the net.
Yeah, it's on
yeah.
there.
Yeah, that's the one. You've got it. There is concern that whereas there is going to be a boundary fencing here, the playing fields and along as it come out into the car park, and at the top end here, there is nothing along here at the moment. Now there's a stream running along here, the ground slopes down and then comes up for these houses and all dotted along here. And the concern is that this is totally open, this area, to vandals, kids, anyone to get into the playing fields, into the pavilion. I don't think there's a concern that they're going to suddenly come across here, across the field, and try and go into the houses. But this whole area is totally open and vulnerable as far as the playing fields.
I wouldn't think they'd want it to be. I'd be surprised that they want it like that and not have some sort of secure fencing or something.
Well, this is something which Tara brought up. In fact, if you look on the objections letter for this application, you'll see one from Mr. Dobbs, Mr. Peter Dobbs, where he's representing Tara and held a meeting with the contractors. If you want to read it through, it clearly states there is a concern, but you're quite happy that we just accept it.
Yeah, I mean, we can note it on there, but as I say, tonight we've only got the amended plan for the summer house and the maintenance track. So those are the two items we should be considering tonight. It's just those two, the additional plans of the summer house.
Yeah, the entire field that this application, frankly, is just a very bad news. Let's all concentrate on the summer house and the pathway, whereas you've got the whole of this exposed area. And also...
Yeah, we can make a note on that. We'll make a note on there with the trees and... Yeah, right?
Yeah, well, along with the trees.
Yeah, along with the trees.
I did say to Tara I would comment on it. So,
yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay.
Otherwise we...
Move for approval of
the summer house and the maintenance track. Okay. Tim, yeah. So, proposed and seconded for approval with those notes that Bill's asked to be added. All those in favour? Against that. Thank you. Next application 17, a big 19234 Green Farm Mare Lane, erection of general purpose agricultural building. Environmental health do not anticipate any environmental health implications, and there's no representations. Councillor Nash.
If you could go ahead in there showing what it's going to be like on the top of the roof leave that for the moment. That's where it's going to be, the barn, and the access to it is from their own farm area, their livestock area, milking sheds, silage pits, etc. They've got 200 head of milking cows, so it's quite a big farm, so the biggest farms in the area. And the access to it is from the lane, which goes up their own area. So there's no other access required to this because it's within the fields. And more important, when this new building is going to be used, as they say here, allows feedstuffs to be stored close to where they will be grown in the neighbouring fields. Because all around here they're grown.
Yeah.
And rather than have to bring it round by road, it would reduce the need for unnecessary traffic movements. There's existing access to the site from the centre of the farm, as I said. There'll be no increase in traffic from this new development. It's adjacent to the existing farm buildings. And environmental health seem to be quite happy on that as well. So with all of that, I will move it for approval.
Thank you. I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? No. Thank you. But now move to Town Ward. First application 17, the big 1922 full, 125 Exeter Road, alteration to shop front and change of use of ground floor to dwelling. Councillor Masding.
Yes, this property is currently the DIY electric shop. There used to be three shops in a row here, 2011 on but so now there's only the two of them there. The third one has already been converted. So the conversion will make the shop area into a two-bedroom flat. There's already two flats in the property, so it's a bit third. I propose that we accept this conversion. Unless you've got any reasonable grounds for it.
Yes, I second that, but say with great regret, we're losing probably one of the best shops in Exeter. DIY electrics. You'll know you don't buy anything there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that. But it's a good conversion, I believe.
Yeah. I think that's right. Councillor Dunbar.
Just add that all the shops up that end of Exeter Road are sort of suffering from marginality, really. And, you know, that's a thing.
No, and a lot of them are changing.
Really.
Yeah. Okay, proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application 17, a big 1908 full, 112 St Andrews Road. Construction of single storey rear extension and dormer windows to front and rear. Highways do not wish to comment, and we've had no representation. Councillor Mesding.
Thank you. This is a double fronted terrace property. The plans show a Juliet balcony to the rear. The property already has a small dormer window to the rear. Proposes for two substantial new dormer windows to the front elevation and a larger replacement dormer to the rear. The two adjacent properties already have dormer windows on the front elevation on the roof. The roof of the property to the right of this one has a large number of solar panels, so it doesn't really detract from the appearance of the streets, which is already well less about. otherwise, and it's falls outside the conservation area, I believe. So, and the Juliet balcony itself is a substantial distance from the houses that it faces, so I wouldn't expect any privacy issues, therefore I recommend acceptance.
I'd second that, because as you rightly say, other people have done exactly the same back that was coming out and the door of the window. So
thank you. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? And against? Thank you. Next application is 14, the big 1592, listed building consent, retention, sorry, 14A Windsor Square, 17 Greek 1592, retention of internal tanking to basement flat. There are no representations and no comments, Councillor Mazding.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, I presume that internal tanking is some kind of damp proofing.
Yeah.
Mm. The photographs show what appears to be substantial damp damage to the property. So if the conservation office has made no objections, I don't think it's obviously necessary to do something in this case.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd say that these houses used to get a lot of water in the basement or ground floor. That's why they do this. Quite clearly, tanky, seething, overflow. So I'd second this.
Yeah, because it says retention of, so presumably it's already there. It says retention of, and obviously make it subject to the building consent officer. Otherwise.
Thing you can do when you
no, you can't do anything. I can't see that it's going to be anything.
Seal
it. Yeah. Oh no. So, propose and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? No, thank you. And the next application is 17, a bit 1947, change of use. Unit 3, Victoria Way. Change of use from light industrial use B1 to fitness centre and personal training suite. Class D2. There are no comments and no representations, Councillor Mazding.
Thank you. Yes, I don't have any particular objections. I think the possibly the perhaps traffic congestion, but I would think perhaps there may be even less vehicles with this usage than previously. I can't imagine being very different to previous use. So I recommend to
And I think it's been empty for some time, actually.
Second that, it's possibly better to see this type of activity rather than another noisy engine running and car breaking shoppers. A lot of people are complaining about noise at weekends and the garages. So it's good to see one.
Okay, proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Now move to Whittaker and Rowley Ward. First application 17, Obliq 1961 full, 17 Moorfield Road. Construction of single story extension to rear and alterations to outbuilding. Highways do not wish to comment and we've had no representations. Councillor Dumper?
Yeah, I couldn't see a problem with this at all. I mean, it's an outbuilding.
No, I've read through it and I can't see a problem. So.
Propose approval.
Yeah, no, I'll second. Propose and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? No, thank you. Next application 17, Obliq 1346 full, 58 St John's Road. Construction of two-storey side and front extension. Amended plan is showing the alternative design. The Town Council had no objection to the original plan on the 3rd of July 2017. And there's been no representation since. I couldn't see much of a problem, but Councillor Dumper?
No, I didn't see a problem.
No. So, propose and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? No, thank you. Next application 16, Obliq 2848 Major Full, Doyle Centre, demolition of building and construction of 10 dwellings. These amendments relate to the marketing information, which we have discussed at a previous meeting. I also draw your attention to an email that Sue Cody circulated with the economic officer's report from East Devon District Council, which I think laid out quite well exactly what was required for marketing information, because I know Councillor Nash raised this at a previous meeting on how robust had the marketing been.
Except so, now that, as you rightly say, Chairman, economic development, the EDDC is saying that it's got to be the present owner that does the work, not the previous one. So
no.
Where does that leave things?
Well, exactly. So at the Town Council at the meeting, you will know we've had this a few times for various different, on the application for various reasons. We objected to this application on the grounds that to approve the application would be a departure from the East Devon local plan, which has designated the land for employment use, and that the land has not been robustly marketed, which was what the point was that Councillor Nash had made, and that it was too easy to conclude that the land should be given over for residential use. And as I say, we've now had the report from the economic officer. Councillor Cahill.
Thank you, Chairman. Really, I just want to ask a few questions or get some clarification on the whole sort of area of that particular development, notwithstanding Tesco's, the Redgate site. I know we've discussed this, or I've brought it up before. You know, we've seen an application go in for which we've actually voted against, McCarthy and Stone, for residential property on what is supposedly employment land. So if we're going to follow the lead of what has been said here by East Devon District Council, surely it's a bit of a contradiction across one against the other.
No, because we've said on both that it's on employment land.
Yeah.
On both of them, we've said that it's part of the local plan, it's still on employment land, designated employment land. And the point that was made quite strongly by Councillor Chapman was when the McCarthy and Stone were here, that they were, their argument was that they were creating employment by creating the apartments because it was going to be of care apartments. And Councillor Chapman raised the point that the employment that was actually going to be provided, could that be classified as employment, as use under employment land, which has gone back to East Devon District Council. Now, the application is still hasn't gone before East Devon District Council, so I can't speak for that application. And obviously, the economic officer has written for this application because he specifically is responding to the Doyle Centre application, although he has commented in respect of adjoining and made the points about the use of both employment land, and that there's an increase in the use for certain types of employment land that's required, not just the one that was illustrated at the time.
So one does question, was the applicant who actually bought this land off Devon County Council kept fully informed and up to speed with what was required of him to try and get this planning application? The applicant bought the property off Devon County Council.
As employment land. It's then for them to, if they want to put in a planning application for a change of use from employment land to residential, then they've got to make the case for that. Devon County Council, as I understood it, has sold that land as employment land, and then the person who has bought it is now asking for it to be residential land. So it's up to the applicant to persuade East Devon District Council that it cannot be used for employment land, as what they were demonstrating when they came here and spoke. They were actually asking us to approve it on the basis that it had been marketed and they felt that there was no requirement for employment land because there was nobody actually interested in using it for employment land, so they were therefore requesting it was change of use to residential land. Now, obviously, we've got the economic report, which is saying that they don't feel it has been marketed robustly as required by the new applicant, because the new applicant would have purchased it, I believe, on the basis of Devon County Council selling its employment land. But Tim's got something.
Based on the town plan, which I understand came into publication on 2013.
The East Devon plan. We haven't done ours. Ours is a neighbourhood plan that's on the way through at the moment.
That's what I just said, the local.
You said the town plan. It's not Exmouth Town have not got a plan.
The East Devon local plan.
Yes.
Which was produced in 2013. I've got to be honest, I don't know the document and I can't quote the document.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that have said in there what was designated as
Yeah, and it's designated as employment land.
Right. It is.
Right, so that's the question I was asking. So the applicant really could have looked at that document.
Yeah, and it would have been when they purchased the land, it would have been advised that it was designated as employment land.
So they're trying to get us to change.
No, not McCarthy and Stone.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's what it is.
No. Chair, do you think we can move this debate on?
Yeah.
It's getting stuck in a...
It is,
in
yeah.
A
Yeah,
Fred insisted on putting his hand up again.
You see, what it actually says, just so for the advertising, for sale, for tender and conditional, on behalf of Devon County Council, former community resource centre with potential for social care uses or residential development subject to planning permission. That is how the land was sold. So what it is saying is, it isn't saying that it is residential land. It's saying... former community resources centre with potential for social care uses or residential development subject to planning permission. So now we're at the position where it's now going through planning permission to decide whether it can be used for residential use or not. And at the moment it's on the plan as employment use, and they've got to demonstrate that there is no call for employment use on that land any further.
Yes.
Councillor Dumper?
And what I'd like to say is that as you rightly said, the document that the Economic Development Department has sent today is very firm on this, that what has been done by the current developers, what was done by Devon County Council was not sufficient to have it designated as employment, as residential land, and what has been done by the current owners is not able to do that. They're also very concerned, the economic development, to show, which we argued last time, actually, as I remember, that we must regard Exmouth, and particularly areas like Saltsman Road, where we're trying to use as employment land, to develop the local plan policy, make it reality of one job per one dwelling. If we are going to throw away bits of land which are eminently suitable, for this, even though you know the access is small and all the rest of it. I mean, I think I mentioned when we were talking about it last time about the idea of sort of bringing those two plots of land together and using it, the economic development people, to somehow facilitate an economic use, an employment use of that land. And I think nothing's changed since we turned this down last time. The marketing that they've given us doesn't show us anything different from anything we've already considered, and therefore I would propose this for refusal.
Yeah, and continue on the same
Absolutely.
Basis that we did before.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Under the local
yeah.
plan.
Yeah. And I'm
yeah.
happy to
Department.
Second that.
Yes. Yeah.
So we'll obviously note the marketing information, but as I say, we'll continue with the objection that we had previously, that it hasn't been robustly marketed, and it's Sue's just pointing out from the report that we had, it said, furthermore, the previous owner's marketing details stated that the current buildings have use for Class D1 use. They did not state the B1 use, nor that part of the adjacent site is allocated for employment use. So
And Sue has also helpfully sent me a list of the classifications and that kind of thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We
yeah.
can actually look at more.
Yeah. And if anybody else needs a copy of the classifications, then please let Sue know.
And Chairman, you know, just so that everyone that perhaps wasn't here, although it is called the Stabbing Local Plan, we actually went through everything in Exmouth.
Oh, absolutely. I was.
Field.
I chaired the local plan committee.
You were as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
all the
land that was designated, which we were told we had to put in for employment, we have put it there. That is what we all agree. It went through town council. So they can come up with...
And the neighbourhood plan...
And we're going to stick to our local
plan. In the neighbourhood plan, we've actually suggested that continues. So.
It is in the neighbourhood plan.
Yeah.
The economic development plan also made it clear in their submission today that, residential property is more of a moneymaker, of course, than this kind of thing. And, far be it from me to but, you know, it obviously makes more money.
Yeah.
But we haven't got a business hub.
No. So it's proposed and seconded that we refuse on the same basis as we did at the previous town council meeting with regard that it's designated land for employment use and that we don't feel it's been robustly marketed, and therefore conclude that it should not be given consent for residential use.
Chairman, so, I love this. The last time I voted against that, well, I remember did, because I believe what was put in that marketing report, when they couldn't find suitable people because of access and so on, what we didn't know at that time, that the previous report could not be owned by the present owner anew. So therefore, the fact I voted for the houses last time, but if legally they can't use that information, I will vote that they don't get it.
It also didn't contain part of the information that it would have needed, irrespective of whether it was done by Devon County Council or the new owner. It didn't have,
no, it didn't have all the information in. No.
All that kind of information.
No.
Did
they say they needed,
no,
but it wasn't there, that it wasn't their ownership.
No.
So, yes, Chairman.
Okay, that's fine. So it's proposed and seconded for refusal on the same basis as we've refused previously. All those in favour? Thank you. Those against?
Can I just say I abstained last time? I abstained.
That's fine. One abstention. Thank you. Right, move on to item 7, items for consideration. Licensing!
Oh, heard you.
Off you go.
I'm going.
Premises and club premises license applications, variations and minor variations. Premises is the Oktoberfest at Imperial Recreation Ground on Saturday the 21st of October and Sunday the 22nd of October. And it's got the various opening hours and live music and recorded music, and I see it finishes at 10 by the look of it. So, any observations anybody wants to make? I mean, it's not Councillor Cahill.
I see the applicant is Hub Group Limited, which are a catering company, who's actually running the Oktoberfest.
Hub Group Limited, I see.
I presume so.
That's the only name we've got.
So the applicant for the licence are actually running this weekend, which.
Well, the application for the licence would come from the caterers or for the people running the bar anyway. But I don't know who's running the actual event.
If they
already
have a licence, yes, they would be applying for a licence.
Yeah, but I can't confirm that they'll be running the event. They may only be doing the catering and the bar.
Right.
Because it's them that have to apply for the licence because they're doing the bar.
Okay.
So it might not be them running the event.
Once again, I think, I'm not trying to talk against having a good time, but we currently see this weekend, we've got publicans having festivals in the street and we're closing roads for drinking sessions. We're now got an application for the recreation ground, which I presume East Devon District Council has already given permission for.
Well, East Devon District Council would have to hire it from East Devon District Council.
Consider it.
So I mean, the actual hiring of the recreation ground would be a separate.
They must have asked if it was available.
As Sue is saying, it's probably subject to it, because what normally happens with any East Devon District Council owned land is you apply for the actual event that you're having on the area that you're having it. For example, if I apply for the Strand or something, but then if they say yes, the date's available. If I was having a bar, for example, if there's events in the Manor Gardens that have a bar, they then ask for the licence, for the bar licence. If you don't get the bar licence that you want, you might well go back to East Devon and say, well, we're not having the event then. So normally you get the provisional booking, I would suggest, until you know whether you've got a bar or not. That's normally
I think this event's happened before, I think.
I don't know, because I don't actually know. I couldn't comment.
The only thing I say is normally, if it's a bar, there is a person's name that is going to be the responsible licensed person. Or if it's a licensee, then he holds a licence as that person. Just having Hub Group Limited Tom, Dick or Harry, who is the responsible person that's going to be
Well, there has to be a responsible person nominated, doesn't there?
That would be in the
conditions, because there has to be responsible person, as they will, which is not included in here, is you've got all the security and everything, which might well come with the booking of the Imperial Recreation Ground rather than the person doing the licence, because the person actually running the event, as Councillor Cagle has already raised, it might well be a different person organising the event, and then they'd have to provide the security on the gates, they'd have to provide the, you know, all the information and making sure that they've got litter clearance and all that sort of thing.
So my point is, Chairman, obviously we can't stop this, even if we wanted to.
Well, you can make comments, but there's be the police will make comments and any other person can make comments.
But having not seen the application for the event, we don't know anything about the event. We don't even know who the applicant is, and the limited company, which is currently has three.
Well,
directors.
No, I can't honestly say that the Hub Group Limited are organising the event. It might not be. It's whoever's hired the Imperial Recreation Ground for this event.
Yeah, but also we don't
which
know
may not be
Hub Limited. The event.
Well, it normally comes to us on the events thing.
On the
information sheet. If it hasn't come through yet.
I've not seen anything, but then again, I don't see everything that comes through.
Well, on the bulletin, on the Friday, we get the bulletin at the bottom. Yeah, well, all the bookings should be on there. If we haven't had it yet, I mean, perhaps it hasn't been confirmed with East Devon District Council.
It's all the month before the detail.
Oh, there we are.
September it'll be.
So it'll come in September.
Right, so we're being asked about a licence for an event that we know nothing about.
If you bring that licence, then they'll tell you.
It does appear to be a typographical error here. It talks about Sunday for the activities, and then under the alcohol consumption, it's Friday and Saturday. So are we able to vote on this at all?
No, I think we need that clarified.
Well, that's just come straight from East Devon.
Yeah, I think we need that clarified. Yeah. So we need that Friday, Saturday clarified, whether they mean Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I shouldn't say Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. But I mean, in all honesty, I can't tell you anything about the event. And as Sue has just explained, we don't normally get them until 1 month before the actual booking.
Sure, but it's just a little bit back to front.
Well, the problem is with any licence for any event, you've got to get all the equipment and you've got to get all the stuff. I mean, the only thing I'd say is the ones for the Manor Gardens, we very often get the licence before we get the actual event. We've had two of those, certainly, for licensing for beer tents and things for actual events. We had one for a little while ago that the actual licence came to us, and we didn't get the event in the Manor Gardens till later because we didn't, the booking hadn't been done. Because very often people who are having beer, this is a beer festival, I presume, I mean, the people who have events like that, if they don't know it depends on loads of things. So they're not going to actually pay the money and book the venue until they know they've got a licence, so they know they've got an audience. It might all, they might decide not to go ahead with it or something.
We just had one this week, haven't we?
Yeah.
For Bumblebee last Friday.
Yeah.
Just giving us all the details. But
yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Chairman's has gone through yet.
No.
Because this is town board.
Yeah.
And I've not seen any notifications.
No, you see, it sometimes doesn't.
I'll verify the days anyway, but obviously.
Yeah, we'll verify the days.
We can still do it before.
Okay.
For the next. Oh, we can't do it for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see if we can get any further information. But I mean, it's certainly, it might well not be the Hub Group running the event, it might be somebody completely different. And they're just using Hub Group to do catering and drinks.
I'll ask for an extension as soon as the information's in.
All right, so we'll ask for an extension.
Thank you.
Items for information: tree preservation order, land adjacent to Brookhouse Castle Lane, just confirming that, an appeal decision number 10 Development Limited for 28 Holland Road, the above appeal was dismissed. And then the only other item is the planning decisions, which I think the ones that have been against what we've done really, we're not surprised at, I don't think. 62 Foxholes Hill, I'm disappointed in, but because I felt we had a strong objection to that. land adjacent to 2 Langstone Drive. I'm slightly confused on that, in that we've had 3 or 4 similar ones in Brixington on various other roads where we've objected and they've done them, and therefore we didn't object and now they've objected to it. So, a bit like we're getting Halston with Dormers ran Springfield Trimfield, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah,
it's very difficult when you get that, certainly. But there being no other business on the agenda, I'll close the meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Great.